Across Australia and around the world, this is Sport.
Here is Blair Hughes from MrBlairHughes.com to talk sport. Hello, Blair.
Oh, good morning, Spencer. How are you today?
Very well today. Thank you very much. We're going to start off with rugby league and take us back two nights. The Broncos had a very nice win over the Eels. They're in fourth spot now on the ladder.
Fourth spot on the ladder, a huge win, 36-14 over the Eels on Thursday night. I tipped them to win, but I didn't think it was going to be that comfortable for them as well. So next up, they've got West Tigers on Saturday night for the Women in League round next Saturday night. So they've got a few days off there to recover as well. But, yeah, they're going so well, aren't they? It's fourth on the ladder and such a turnaround for the last couple of seasons. It's great to see.
Really good, really good. I got Brisbane right. I was woeful then with the Manly game. I totally misjudged that. Or was it a surprise? Because that was quite a thrashing by the Dragons.
Well, look, I think Ben Hunt, for one thing, he's on fire at the moment. That's four tries in his last three games, three for the Dragons, one for Queensland, that hero try that he scored in the third game. But the Dragons ran away last night, 20-6 over Manly. And maybe it's a sign of the retro jersey. A lot of the teams, they bring back these retro jerseys. And so far, the teams that have brought them back, three out of four have lost the games that they've won them in. So that's a little random stat there. But, yeah, they just couldn't get the win last night. Credit to the Dragons. And as a result of the Roosters then winning over Newcastle, actually flogging them 42-12, the Roosters now go up into the eight and Manly fall out.
Today's matches?
We've got Canberra versus the Warriors, which is probably a good one for Canberra. If they win, I think they potentially move up a tiny bit. There's a couple of teams on 20 points if they win that. Penrith versus Cronulla is probably the game of the round there tonight. That's going to be an interesting one. And then South versus Melbourne. So two really big games today as well.
What do we need to know with AFL? I know the Q Clash is on at the Gabba tonight.
The number 23, Q Clash number 23, it is going to be a huge game, that one. They're expecting a huge crowd. It's multicultural round. Calamachi's got his 100th game there as well. There's a whole bunch of the Lions players back tonight. Dane Zorko, Daniel Rich, Jared Berry, Marcus Adams and Oscar McKerney are all back. And a huge game there for the Lions. And if they win that tonight, potentially, on the back of Richmond and Frio's draw last night, the Lions can move up the ladder a bit there as well. And go equal second with Melbourne if they win that. So it's a huge one there. A lot of stuff kicks off at the Gabba about 5 o'clock in their fan zone with all the fan engagement activations and stuff like that from 5 down at the Gabba. So huge one for the Lions tonight versus Gold Coast.
Last night in the Richmond-Fremantle game, it was a draw, so they don't play on. There's no sort of golden point. They just take the draw in AFL.
No, and that's been the big discussion. You know, where's the golden goal? Or I was thinking of other names this morning, Super Sixer or something like that. You know, the first goal that's kicked wins it, kind of thing. And you know, that was a draw again last night, 7-10. They both actually kicked the exact same score as well, 7-10-52. And it was the 164th draw in the history of AFL VFL since 1896. So there's been 164 of them. They had to share the points last night.
What happens in the grand final if there's a draw? They would have to play on. They'd have to have a way of doing that.
Well, back in, I think it was 2010, St Kilda versus Collingwood, they drew in that grand final. I think there was another one way back as well in the 70s or 60s. I can't remember the exact date, but there's been two drawn and they played a week later and they still got 100,000 to the game at the MCG. But Collingwood ended up winning that one on the second go-round.
Complete replay, right. Okay, the other games, North, Hawthorn, Sydney, Adelaide, Port and Geelong, Bulldogs, Melbourne and Brisbane v Gold Coast, of course, the Q Clash tonight at the Gabba. The cricket in Northern Ireland, this is the big lead-up competition to the Commonwealth Games and the women's cricket.
That's right, yeah. So Australia is going so well over there. There's some incredible stats coming out of it. Alana King went on to, out of her three games so far, she's taken 8 for 28 off about 11 overs. Meg Lenning and Talia McGrath are getting the runs. McGrath currently averages 247 from her games that she's played so far across her career, basically, in T20. And Megan Shute becomes the second Aussie bowler to reach 100 T20 wickets as well. So they've gone so well over there. They've won two of the three. The first one was abandoned. The next game's tonight, Brisbane time, 1 a.m. versus Pakistan. So, and then they go on to the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham from there. there.
What do you make of the comments by the Bulls skipper and Aussie batsman Usman Khawaja this week that one day international cricket is dying a slow death? He says that T20 will survive and will be strong. Test cricket will survive and be strong, but that they just you can't sustain all three forms of the game. What do you reckon?
Yeah, that is a. I have definitely have an opinion on that. I used to love in the 90s. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that loved watching the height of one day cricket and what that was in Australia at the time. You know, watching it all over those grounds across Australia at the time. And unfortunately, times are changing. People's attention spans are not there anymore for a 50-over game. You know, I love Test cricket. I love Test cricket more than T20s. But unfortunately, there's a lot of sport on at the moment. There's a lot of other things on in people's lives that their disposable incomes are fighting for as well. And unfortunately, yeah, I do find it a bit weird too that we're playing it in October and November. So as soon as NRL AFL finishes, we're straight into these one days. To me, that's a bit of a weird time to be playing them, but it's probably also because this year of the FIFA World Cup as well, trying to find a spot in the schedule to put it in.
So if you had to lose one form of cricket, one day international, like, sorry, one day, 50 over, T20 or the long form of the game, whether it be Test or Sheffield Shield is 4 days, of course, five in the final, which of those three would you cut, Blair, if we came to you as the consultant?
I think it would have to be the one-day game. I mean, you look over in England and they're comp the 100, so that's even shorter than the T21. So there's all these different games and different formats, and it's about entertainment and it's about the game on the field, and that's the number one thing. But unfortunately, I think, sadly, yeah, one-day cricket is dying a slow death as well. And, you know, I think the players still obviously want to play it, and the fans, there's definitely a lot of fans that like it, but unfortunately, T20 is where it is, and Test match cricket, I mean, I'd hate to see a day where that goes, because to me, that's the pinnacle of Test of cricket.
That's cricket. Yep. Well, if you've got an opinion on that, which would you cut, 133-882, if you had to cut one form of cricket? What's happening in the world of the round ball game, the world game, football?
Yeah, well, Brisbane Roar, they're shaping up for a fantastic season as well. You know, they've got the ex-Queen's Park Rangers striker, Charlie Austin. He debuted the other night in Townsville at Queensland Country Bank Stadium in their game versus Aston Villa. They went down 1-0 to that, so they lost to Leeds, lost to Villa, but they are Premier League teams as well, and they're over here with a lot of the other Premier League teams as well. So last night in Perth at Optus Stadium, you had Crystal Palace and Leeds United. Drew 1-1 in that game. And then tonight at the same stadium over in Perth, you've got Manchester United versus Aston Villa. So they got about 35,000 last night at the stadium in Perth. Tonight for United versus Villa, I think they're going to get a lot more for that as well. Big news for Socceroos fans. Aaron Moy has signed for Celtic FC, so reunites there with Ange Postecoglou for Celtic FC over there. And, yeah, it's been a great week. You've got Socceroos and Matildas tickets going on sale soon for the games in Brisbane. So it's pretty good. I saw on that one as well, fans can actually buy a double ticket package to go to both of them as well, which I think is a great idea for fans and families to make it affordable as well.
We're marking 10 years to the Olympics today. 1 year has ticked off this week to the Women's World Cup in football. That's in Australia and New Zealand next year. And in the Hockey World Cup, the Australian women took out bronze this week. But let's talk about basketball. The NBL have scheduled a match on Christmas Day. This is a first for Australian professional sport. I don't know how I feel about that, but then I also... 10, 15 years ago, I was probably jumping up and down about sport on Good Friday, and now I just accept it.
Absolutely. I mean, like, it's a huge thing. I think a lot of people thought maybe it was going to be a Big Bash game or a WBBL game or something like that, or an A-League game. It's probably the only other sports that could kind of take that on kind of thing. But it's huge for the NBL. They're doing it in Sydney. The Sydney Kings are there hosting that game. Tip-off is 7:35 on Christmas night. It's a Sunday night. And I think for a lot of people, a lot of fans, I mean, they'll sell that out. That'll be a huge game there as well, that they'll get 10,000 odd people to that game. But it's a huge thing. And for sport in Australia, I think they've been doing it in the NBA for years, and the Christmas games, I think they even do a couple on Christmas Day over there. So for sport in Australia, I think in the next couple of years, we're going to see either an A-League game or a Big Bash game on Christmas Day as well. The big question is, what time could another game start? And I posed that question this morning on Twitter and just asking the sports business community kind of thing. could it be from 3 o'clock? Could it be from 1 o'clock? You know, when do the leftovers have to be finished by? When can they be consumed, kind of thing? So it's going to be interesting to see, but it's great for the NBL as well, which has had a huge resurgence in the last few years.
Yeah, I just don't know. But then Boxing Day is a big thing for sitting down watching the yacht race or watching the cricket. So maybe... And the other thing, look, Christmas changed for our family big time last year, Christmas 2020, 21? What year are we in? We went to Macca's for lunch. You know, like we the family Christmas was Boxing Day, and instead of doing something flash at home, we just went, you know what, we're getting Macca's. We went and we sat on the beach at Surfers and we ate Macca's, and it was a first, and it was amazing.
Exactly. And you know, people are doing all different types of things. And most, if you think about it, most things are done by lunchtime or after lunch anyway. Everyone's sitting down or going for a nap. So now being able to tune in and watch a sports game that night might be another thing to bring the family closer together and all those types of things as well.
So, yeah, true. Less things to argue about, or maybe more things to argue about. Hey, tell us just quickly about these inclusive menus that have been trialled in the United States.
Yeah, I found this one really interesting. I work as a school teacher as well, and obviously around inclusion and peanut-free kind of situations at schools and stuff like that. There's a stadium over in the US, or a team called the Timber Rattlers. Great name, and they're a baseball team, and they are trialing a peanut-free food game. So basically no items in the stadium whatsoever. The fans being told not to take any of those peanut items, basically. And that's an inclusive option. We've seen a lot of these things too around the world, not just for something like that, but now you can get vegan options like at Suncorp Stadium and MCG and gluten-free options and things like that. All of this is about trying to cater for every type of fan so that they feel welcome and so that they feel included on game days. So, it was just an interesting one. Didn't make much noise in the industry kind of thing, but I saw that and thought, oh, that's an interesting kind of one, so good on them.
Well, if you're someone who is allergic to peanuts, I'd be interested to know whether that would make a difference to you going to a sporting event or not, because you're outdoors and are you really that close to the food that other people are eating? I don't know. I don't know how much of a difference it would make, but very, very interesting development. All right, Blair, thank you. We'll talk to you same time tomorrow.
No worries. Take care. Have a good day.
Blair Hughes, he's a fan engagement specialist from MrBlairHughes.com. 20 past 11. If there's anything there we've talked about you want to have your say on, give me a call, 133-882. Text 0499-882. Janelle's just tweeted to say that drawn AFL Grand Final, the AFL changed the rules after that where extra time would be implemented instead of replaying the game the next week. And, of course, this new rule hasn't been used yet. Thank you, Janelle. 21 past 11. Let's check the traffic.
You're listening to Weekends with Spencer Howson on Brisbane's 4BC.
23 past 11. If it's happening in Brisbane, you'll hear about it on 4BC Weekends. Big and small, citywide and hyperlocal. Coming up next, a makeover for a suburban park. And it's all about returning things to nature. This is Brisbane.